Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In Peter's letter to early Christians who were in the midst of persecution, he wrote, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a meddler. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name." This is God's word. And we may read this text. We may feel that any suffering experienced not in the name of Christ, maybe like the type that we experience today, right now, is minimized by God. We might reflect on the isolation that we are experiencing, being quarantined for so many weeks, unsure of when it might end, and wonder what God thinks of our loneliness. And we may be agonizing over our financial situation because our jobs have been lost or our hours have been reduced, and we might question exactly how God might provide. Or maybe we're suffering a sense of diminished self-worth as we wander the empty aisles of these stores just searching for a replacement, for some alternative, for a basic necessity of our life. And as we leave empty-handed, unsure of how we will cope without it, we wonder if this inconvenience is just too small for God's empathy. And maybe, just maybe, he sees only our bigger problems. Maybe, just maybe, he focuses only on the suffering that is done in his name. And one could have that impression from the section of the letter that I just read. But you see, the gospel passage tells us something completely different. It tells us that all suffering of any Christian is within the scope of his care and his compassion. Even though we only read a few verses, the entire chapter is the recorded prayer that Jesus speaks to his Father. And in these words, he also speaks to us today. And he paints for us the completeness and the fullness of that care and that compassion that he has for each child of God. You see, in his prayer, we hear that compassion. Don't miss this. He knows that in a short while, he will be abandoned by all of his followers. They will all flee at his arrest. And he knows that a little later he will be humiliated, beaten, and whipped nearly to the point of death. Then he will be nailed to a tree and left to die. But it won't end there. As if that were not enough, God himself will turn his head from his son. And Jesus will be left completely and utterly alone. And the only thing that will remain with him on that cross will be the full weight of God's punishment for every sin from every person from every time. He knows all of this. And yet, as he prays in the garden, he recognizes our suffering and he petitions God on our behalf. And he says, I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. You see, Christ prays for you, and he prays for me. And his prayer is one of concern for all, for everything that we go through. The petitions to the Father are not limited to just our Christian suffering. In these last hours, Jesus turns over his universal concern for our lives into the hands of his Father. And he says, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them. But now I am coming to you. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. You see, in these last hours, Christ places us in his Father's care. But he never asks that we be removed from the circumstances that we find ourselves in. When he spoke these last words, he knew the eventual fate of his disciples. The pain and the suffering that they would experience later for his name. He also knew of the suffering of the believers that would follow after. And he knows of the suffering that we are experiencing right now, today. He knows of the loss of health and life. He knows of the loss of jobs and financial security. And he knows the pain of isolation. You see, he knew all of this. Yet, he didn't ask the Father to intervene. What he did was ask that the protection from the evil one be extended to us. And I'd like to read that last verse again. It says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. He asks for protection instead of modification of our circumstances. Because he knows that this is where we need God's intervention the most. There's a war going on that is much bigger than our sinful selves, much bigger than the virus, much bigger even than the universe. It's a spiritual war that's raging, and we find ourselves placed squarely in the middle by Satan. Paul writes in Ephesians, he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. You see, Satan attacks us. He encourages us to rebel against God. And he uses the situations of this world, of our society, to drive us away from God. Just look at the growing number of Christians that are beginning to fight over when and how our churches should be opened. How cunning he is to persuade us to focus on each other, to fight over what camp we belong to instead of focusing on God. See, Christ prays to his Father and says, keep them from the evil one. It's as if he adds, protect them from Satan's incursion into society. Protect them from his attacks. Protect the church because they are powerless against him. Protect them from themselves because Satan is encouraging them to turn on each other. This is where we need God the most. This is where we need his protection. We are a part of a war that we can't fight all by ourselves. We can't find safety from within ourselves. We are on a battlefield and we are unarmed without God's protection. But on the cross, Jesus will remove us from that battlefield. We will no longer stand accused before God. But just because our relationship will be restored, and just because Satan will be defeated, doesn't mean his attacks will cease. You see, and that was the prayer of Jesus. It was a plea that as we live in this world as a community of believers, that we be placed in God's care. The same care that his Father showed to him. Christ cares so deeply for each of us. He cares about every single detail in our life. His love is so complete, it is so deep, that the only one he trusts to continue that care is his Father. And so he prays. He says, keep them, care for them, just as I have cared for them. But before he can place us in his Father's loving arms, Christ must reconcile the relationship that we broke with God. And he does this on the cross. It's then that we can live under the mercy and the grace and protection of our Father. See, this is the compassion of Christ, and it is available for you today. And I look around this church, and it's nearly empty. And if you look around your home, today you'll see the same thing. And maybe the suffering that you feel right now is one of abandonment. Abandonment by your friends, by your extended family, by your church. But know this. Because Jesus was abandoned by his Father, because God turned his head while Christ was hanging on the cross, you will never be alone. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God will always be with you. And God will always care about every suffering of your life. Go to him in prayer because he is with you right now. Please pray with me. Lord, into our hearts you speak these words from Isaiah. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Lord, we find peace and comfort in these words today as we approach you with all that we suffer. We trust in your love and compassion and know that your care will see us through these difficult times. In your name we pray. Amen.